Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host for Beginning End of the Week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. We'll talk this week about the prophets, not just specifically prophets from the Old Testament, but the idea of the role of a prophet. The scripture is full of them. And in particular, I want to talk about it. I was inspired just remembering a book my good friend Ralph Martin had written called Priest as Prophet, just a small book that was touching on something that also impacts lay people. But I think priests, clergy in particular, because of their role, that each one of us who are baptized into Christ, we're baptized to dimensions of who the Lord is and his ministry, we're priests, prophets, kings. The clergy in particular have expressed those roles in the church in a unique way through their ordination and the role they have in the church. But also each one of us has a priestly, prophetic, and kingly dimension to our lives. And so I thought I'd just take a little time to draw on some of the things from Ralph's book, but beyond that as well, just to think about it. Because one of the things if we look at the big picture, I mean, Christianity itself is a prophetic interpretation of reality. It's a prophetic understanding of the origin, the meaning, and the destiny of human life. It's been revealed by God. And God's given us revelation not only of its origin and what he's calling us to do, but he sent forth his Son who helped us understand the world we were living in, to understand the human heart, to understand the spiritual combat that we're in, and what he was going to do, what the Father was going to do with him in his life, passion, death, and resurrection, in the kingdom and the new creation that he was going to bring about for the sake of the salvation of the world, a place to bring people and establishing his church. So the church, everyone baptized into Christ, is sharing in one level, according to our vocation, in the ministry of Jesus. And what's at the heart of it is Jesus is priest, how he leads us in worship and praise and the offering of our life to the glory of God. And then the priesthood, in a unique way, they bring us the sacraments of the church that unite us uniquely with God's grace. But the Eucharist itself is that offering of praise to God, putting us in touch with actually experiencing the representation of the passion of Jesus, his victory over the powers of sin and death, and at the same time experiencing, it's like an open heaven when we're there praising the Lord, because we're in him, in the Holy Spirit, we're enabled to be united to the Lord, who continues to offer himself to God the Father in heaven for all eternities. He sits at the right hand of the Father. He's glorifying the Father. The Father's glorifying the Son. And in the Eucharist, that act of love by which we were saved that brings us into the family of God, sets us right with God, that act of love on Calvary is represented to us. And what's happening there, Jesus is offering his life to the Father. That's what happened on the cross, in total obedience. And so he's teaching us, he's drawing us up into that offer. And we as individuals and as a community of people are offering up our lives, giving glory to God, giving thanks to God for the eternal life that's given to us in the Son. And at the same time, Jesus is pouring out grace. He's continuing his self-emptying. He's pouring out grace on us as we're there both in the worship of the liturgy, in the word that's in the liturgy, the gospel, the readings that are there, and culminates in the sacrament of the Lord's presence. And we believe. And our minds, by grace, we're able to accept it, receive it. And we know also to where it's pointing. It's pointing to a number of things, the return of the Lord. It's pointing to the final judgment and the final establishing of the kingdom. And we live with an understanding that this is the final age, as the Catechism says, and I've spoken about a number of times over the years. The Catechism reminds us we're in the final age of human history, what John the Apostle called the last hour, that period of time between the first coming of Jesus, the mercy of God revealed in the incarnate Son of God, and he came to deal with the world, the flesh, and the devil, to make it possible for those who are alienated from God, that is the entire human race under sin, brought into relationship with God. That plan of God is revealed and offered in this last hour, which is what? The time of mercy. God's mercy is being poured out on the world between the two comings of Christ. He's offering the forgiveness of sins, new life in the Holy Spirit, a capacity, grace to enter into his kingdom, to become a new creation, to become a child of God, to walk in the Spirit, to enter the life of holiness, union with God, as we're united with Jesus. And we know now by God's grace, he gives us the heart of Jesus and the mind of Jesus for the time we live in. And what's most important is what's on Jesus's mind and Jesus's heart, the salvation of souls, of people, right? Of human beings. The church exists to extend the salvation of Jesus into the world. And there's a sense of urgency because life is short. It's a passing shadow for each and every one of us, but also this time will come to an end, this time of mercy, and the final judgment will come. And those who live and die in the Lord will share the kingdom with him. Those who don't are going to be eternally separated from him. So we live with that big picture, big understanding, and we're enabled to see it and to live out of it by the gift of the Holy Spirit that's given to each and every one of us. God's love has been poured into our hearts. We know we're children of God. All of this is a prophetic understanding of reality. The natural mind can't access these things. And so our whole posture, our stand in this world is to live by faith. It's another way of describing it. Now, the Lord himself, what's so important is he is sharing with us, because we're baptized into him, the priest, prophet, and kingly dimensions of his life. You know, again, on Calvary, as I just described, this was the perfect offering and perfect sacrifice, and the priestly action of Jesus, fulfilling that role and offering up all of us with him to the Father. He's a king. He's king and Lord of all. The Father's crowned him. All power and authority in heaven and earth has been given to him. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess to the glory of God the Father that Jesus Christ is Lord. And he's a prophet. In fact, what's interesting is of the various roles, priest, prophet, and king, one of the things Dr. Martin points out in his little book is that throughout the Gospels, Jesus was identified more often as a prophet than he was a king or a priest. He wasn't spoken about necessarily as a new David, as a present king to be crowned, or a new Aaron, who was the priest under Moses' leadership. I want to read a few passages from the Gospels that just kind of show you how they encountered the person of Jesus. Remember now, we're seeking to imitate Jesus. As Paul said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. The apostles walked in the footsteps of Jesus, and they did what he did, taught what he taught, under the grace and anointing of the Holy Spirit. So Matthew 21:10-11. And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was shaken and asked, who is this? And the crowds replied, Jesus the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. Matthew 21:46, a little bit further. When the Pharisees tried to arrest him, they feared the crowds, for they regarded him as a prophet. So the Pharisees, the people, understood him to be a prophet. And then the Pharisees said they needed to be really careful. Why? Because the people understood and experienced Jesus as a prophet. Luke 7:16, after raising the widow's son from the dead, fear seized the people, and they glorified God, exclaiming, a great prophet has arisen in our midst. So his preaching and his signs and wonders, this is what led them to see and believe that he was indeed a prophet. John 4:19, the woman at the well, sir, I can see that you are a prophet. You know, what happened there? Jesus basically read her life with what you might call words of knowledge, data about her past life and present that there's no way he could know without being who he is, Jesus. And he said, you know, reminded she had five husbands, and there's a beautiful encounter with her. John 6:14, after the feeding of the 5,000, this is truly a prophet, the one who is to come into the world. John 7:40, after talking about the living waters and coming to the Holy Spirit, some in the crowd who heard these words of Jesus said, this is truly the prophet. Deuteronomy 18:15, Moses spoke of his coming. A prophet like me will the Lord your God raise up for you from among your kindred. Jesus is fulfilling what Moses prophesied, that a prophet would rise. And Jesus is the culmination of all that prophetic anticipation and God's formation of a people, and partly led by prophets and led by kings. Acts 3:22 through 26. St. Peter cites the promise to Moses, everyone who does not listen to that prophet will be cut off from the people. God raised up his servant and sent him to bless you by turning each of you from your evil ways. That's what prophets do. That's one of the main things prophets do, is they read the signs of the times, but they call people back to fidelity to God, because it's very easy for human beings to get lost in darkness and trapped by the deceptions of the enemy, seduced by the world, attached to the world, having the mind of the world instead of the mind of Christ. And of course, John the Baptist was the forerunner. He was the friend of the bridegroom. He was a prophetic voice, and a voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, turn, repent. It was really powerful, strong. Remember, he called the religious leaders. He said, you brood of vipers, who told you to flee the wrath to come? Like, John was there proclaiming as a prophet, the last of the Old Testament prophets, calling people to repentance. That's a big part of what prophets do. And we're meant to, all of us have a prophetic role. First of all, to hear the word of the Lord ourselves and respond to it and make sure we're saying yes to God, we're repenting, we're walking in humility and healthy fear of the Lord. But also the Lord uses us, each of us, according to our vocation and our responsibilities, when needed, to call people back, to call people to turn away from habit patterns of sin and lies and brokenness and slavery and rebellion against God. And our priests, our deacons, our bishops, they're meant to have this dimension as a part of their ministry. Also, as they preach to us at daily mass, as they preach to us on Sunday in particular, but also just in their ministry. And it takes courage. And it's one of the things I just want to put a finger on this week over and over again. It takes courage to step into the call of being a prophet, having a prophetic voice. And sometimes it's difficult for clergy. It's difficult for many of us, but in particular for clergy to stand up on Sunday and take difficult words or readings from the gospel or the Old Testament, whatever, that speak directly and could be applied directly, at least analogously to things we're experiencing today. And it can come across just like the words of Jesus or John the Baptist. And sometimes human flesh, human beings, priests are human beings too, just like us, say, gee, I don't want to say a hard word to the people. I just want to encourage them. I don't want to speak like the prophets of old and the prophetic voice of Jesus and the prophetic voice of the saints who are not afraid to speak. So the gift of the prophetic voice of the Holy Spirit is critical to help people come into freedom and purity in the kingdom of God. Hope you can join me tomorrow.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Does God Judge? Wow, what a question, but it's a relevant question. Scripture says we were all appointed to die once, and then the judgment. We know for sure each one of us has an appointment in our future. And it takes Scripture, Catechism, and the saints to help us understand the beauty of God's plan and how we can look forward to the judgment as followers of Christ. If you'd like to get a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/FOE.